I was just going to start at the beginning. What was it like coming out? But,
right. Well, I didn't come out until I was 27, so the question that you asked about growing up as a lesbian, at the time, I guess I wasn't that aware that that's how I was growing up, although I grew up in a totally female environment with my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, and my great aunt, as well as my sister. So that's, I think, pretty usual, you know, for many, you know, black children. I look back on that time as being a positive element of my forming both my lesbian identity and also my feminist identity in politics. As I said, I came out at age 27, and one of the feelings that I had was that there was no way that I could be a lesbian and still somehow be a legitimate, you know, black person. In other words, I just had a horrible feeling that indeed I would lose, you know, my, you know, racial community. And I think it really took the formation of black feminist community to, you know, make it obvious that I didn't have to give up any, you know, aspects of who I am.
Do you feel that one of the things people kept coming back to was how invisible they felt, or how invisible lesbians are in the black community? Did you have any?
That's true, because I think that often when gay life is talked about in a black context, it's men who are being thought of. And that's true, I think, for white people and other, you know, people too, other third world people. But the thing is that there's just a way that I think the concept of a woman-identified black lesbian just boggles the minds of, you know, conventional black people. I think it's much more threatening, because I think there's a way that I've seen, and this is, of course, you know, unfortunate and negative in many cases, I have seen black gay men being put into this box, you know, serving this, you know, kind of function in the black community, which is much more, you know, palatable.
When you came out, where did you go culturally? I mean, where did you find your community?
Well, the thing is, I was already involved in black feminist organizing, and I never really went through a period, although there were many times when I could have lapsed, but I've never been in a situation where I, quote, forgot about, you know, being black. You know, I was involved in, you know, black politics, the civil rights movement, long before the women's movement, and I did not see becoming a lesbian as an abdication.
So you didn't see that you had to leave or go outside the women's movement or the civil rights movement and into the gay rights movement. It was not some distinct feeling that you had to abandon one to become another.
No, see, that's the thing. As a black feminist, I just, you know, have never seen a necessity of dividing up our identities. To me, that's what black feminism has been. The group that I'm talking about is the Combahee River Collective. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it was a very, you know, serious activist group of black women in Boston from 1974 on. And the thing is that we refuse to divide ourselves up. I don't know if you've read our collective statement. I can tell you where that can be found. But the thing is that we just said, look, we're all these, and you've got to deal with it. Now, as far as, like, homophobia in the black community, of course, that's real. That continues to be real. But I think it's different, too. Like, if you live where you grew up as opposed to moving somewhere else and, you know, living there. Because I think often if you're still in the community where you were raised, that you perhaps are confronting some attitudes more directly than if you're just in the anonymity, perhaps, of the city where you get to start off, you know, new. But homophobia amongst black people is, of course, a very, you know, real and destructive force. But I don't see homophobia as necessitating giving up black identity. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, like, I am a black feminist and lesbian, you know, and, you know, I hold on to all of those things.
Do you ever feel that you are left out of the mainstream of gay life, or,
Well, the thing is, gay, to me, equals white male. So, of course I am. But that's not where, you know, I find, you know, my, you know, community and my, you know, my base. My base has been in the women's movement and in the black women's movement and increasingly in the third world women's movement. So the thing is that there's certainly a place for me there. That does not mean that I have not worked in coalition, you know, with, you know, different kinds of people, white, male, you know, gay, of course. But the thing is that I never thought for a moment that I would find acceptance in a white male world, enclave, whether it was straight or gay.
You see a definite connection between, say, racism and homophobia and sexism?
Absolutely. I mean, one way that you can show that that's true is because the same people practice them. In other words, like the moral majority, the right to life for the present administration, et cetera, all the same people line up, you know, opposed and of opposition to the lives of us. So the thing is that they see the connections. I often say this, like, they see the connections between race and the sexual identity and economic, you know, class, so why can't we?
How do you address racism in the larger lesbian and gay community?
Well, the thing is, you know, through my work, you know, as a not only as an activist, feminist, but as a writer, you know, I have done that throughout. It will continue to do so. So I write about it and try to, you know, get to the bottom of what is all of this. Three other women and myself, several years ago, developed some consciousness-raising guidelines for about racism for white women, primarily, and those have been widely published and distributed. They came out of having done workshops on racism for white women's groups in Boston and elsewhere. I think it's really a very complicated problem. It's, I guess I feel that you have to do it on both a personal level, and then also you have to do it on a political level of opposing the institutions that perpetuate racism. So, like, I encourage every approach to ending it, and I believe in dialogue. So that necessitates that I'm going to have to push for better understandings of our various identities. In other words, opposing things that oppress people of color.